everyone. I'm Amelia and I'm 5 years old.
Hi, I'm Zosha and I'm 8 years old.
Hi, everyone. This is Mommy.
What's up, everyone? I'm Daddy.
And you're listening to
It's Movie Night.
And this week we watched Puss in Boots: The Last Wish.
DreamWorks and Universal put out this animation in 2022. It's rated PG and has a runtime of 1 hour and 42 minutes. Some other movies DreamWorks released around this time were The Bad Guys and Ruby Gillman Teenage Kraken.
Amelia, what would you say this movie's about?
It's about three groups who want to make a wish and there's only one map and they're trying to get it.
Pretty much. This movie's about a cat named Puss in Boots who, after an accident, realizes he's on his last of 9 lives. So he takes off his boots and goes into hiding. However, after discovering the opportunity to find a wishing star and get those lives back, he sets out on a journey with his friends Kitty Softpaws and Perrito to find it. But he's not the only one after it.
Some familiar voices. Puss in Boots is voiced by Antonio Banderas. He has been Puss in Boots for the last 6 movies, as well as numerous games and shorts. I know him the most as Gregorio Cortez from the Spy Kids franchise, though. However, I think a lot of the older generations will know him as Alejandro Marietta or Zorro from The Mask of Zorro. Kitty Softpaws is played by Selma Hayek. She is Rita Escobar in Wild Wild West, Roxanne in the Grown Ups movies, and more recently, Ajak in Eternals. Perrito is played by Harvey Guillen. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. He's got a little accent in there. He is the voice of Funny the Funhouse in Mickey Mouse Funhouse. Amelia and I love this show. I sing his songs all the time. He is Dr. Sanchez in Blue Beetle, Gabo in the animation Wish that we covered. But parents, you may recognize him as Guillermo de la Cruz from the What We Do in the Shadows TV show. Goldilocks is voiced by my girl Florence Pugh. She plays Yelena Belova in the movie Black Widow and the Hawkeye series. She is Soraya Knight in Fighting with the Family. And adults may know her as Alice from Don't Worry, Darling. Jack Horner is voiced by John Mulaney. He is Spider-Ham in the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse movie. Chip in the Disney Plus movie Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. But parents may know him mostly as just a stand-up comedian. He has multiple specials on Netflix.
And then there are two directors for this movie. Joel Crawford, who directed Trolls Holiday, which I do enjoy.
It's a fun one.
And he also did The Croods: A New Age. Aside from that, he also worked in the art departments for Rise of the Guardians, SpongeBob Sponge Out of Water, the first Trolls, and Lego Movie 2. So, pretty good movies. And then the other director is Manuel Mercado. This is the very first film he's ever directed. He was in the art and animation departments for Turbo, Trolls 1 and 2, Kung Fu Panda 2, and The Croods: A New Age.
So both of them come from a solid kids movie background.
Yes, they do. So this is a first-time watch for everyone in this house. We were recommended from the Does It Hold Up podcast that we should watch this movie because they really enjoy it. So let's get straight into some talking points. So much like all the Shrek movies and every other movie that exists in this franchise, they're made for kids but have a lot of adult elements. The topic of this movie is more for grown-ups. You know, they're wanting to live longer or they have regrets from the past. I like this. I'm not sure how you felt about it, Mommy, but I was like, okay, this is more of an adult movie. Like, I understand kids are going to like this because of the animation. They're going to like it because it's a cat wearing boots fighting. But I thought that this was a nice touch to a kid franchise.
It is always good when a kid's movie speaks to the parents as well, because as directors, animators, everything, the voice actors, you know that you need parents to bring their kids to see these movies. So it's nice to give something for everybody.
It does. And I believe you're a fan of the Shrek movies. I think we watched them all like 2 or 3 years ago, like in a row. We had marathon or something like that.
I am. I loved the Shrek movies, particularly 1 and 2. I know Shrek 2 I had in my portable DVD player back
nice,
in the day when
nice.
you would plug it into like the cigarette outlet plug in your car to get it to charge and work. Shrek 2 was in that a lot. I have the main menu memorized with Donkey being like, hey, over here, press play.
Oh, that was the first one. It was Pick Me.
That was the first one. And then in the second one, he's in there as well.
Okay.
I know there's like clouds in the background because it's more fairy tale themed, but love it.
Okay, well, I'll be interested towards the end of the episode if you could tell me where this ranks in the Shrek universe, because I don't remember. I'm not a big fan of the Shrek series. I'll let you guys know if I like this more than the Shrek series. But yes, I'll be interested to know what you think about it.
Well, at least so far, did you have any favorite scenes?
I did. I had a few favorite scenes. I'll take one to start us off, and then I'll come back to the next one. But I know it's a sad scene, but it's when Perito is explaining to everyone how he was kind of abandoned from the litter. Like, nobody really liked him. And the way that he explains it, Perito is just this dog that is very overstimulated the entire movie.
Very innocent as well.
He's so innocent. He's just such a good character. But he's explaining about how nobody liked him and how they tied him into a bag and threw him into a river with a brick or something like that. But he says it so jolly, I guess.
What's your story?
My story? Oh, it's actually a very funny story.
Back when I was a pup, me and my litter mates lived with a family full of pranksters who liked to play hide and seek, and I was always it. Pick on the little guy, am I right? They tried putting me in a packing crate, a dumpster. No matter how hard they try, I'd always find them. So one day, they get creative, and they put me in a sock with a rock in it, and then throw me in a river. I gnawed a hole in the sock, and I swam to the surface. Never found them or my litter mates, so I guess I'm still it.
That is the saddest, funny story I've ever heard.
He is. He's very docile about it, and I almost want to say he explains it like a game of hide and seek.
It kind of reminds me of, like, an Ice Age when Sid explains that they leave him every year.
Yes.
It has that sadness to it times three, because they are actually trying to end Perito.
Yes, it's very harmful.
It is, very. So I don't like the scene for the content, but I like the way that he's explaining it and the way that Puss and Kitty Softpaws kind of react to it, because they have this realization of, wow, I feel for this guy.
They share that side glance of, uh-oh.
Yeah. How about you, Amelia? Did you have a favorite scene?
Yeah, I do. I like how the map changes for the different people, and then for the last one, for the puppy, it's an easy one, and it's more better since it's so easy.
Yeah, so when Perito gets the wishing map, it's like, oh, you have to go through, like, the sunshine rainbow forest. Yeah. It's like little things like that. It almost looks like a Candyland map than anything. And then it gets into Puss in Boots' hands or Soft Paws, and the route gets extremely harder. It's like, what, yeah, like the ghosts in up in the hills or something?
It's bad news, because there's, like, thorns or, like, desperation, stuff like that.
Creepy shadows.
Yes.
And they're all like, why is yours so easy? And it's like, well, because Perito's so innocent. He doesn't have anything to fight against, okay?
No, he would look at it, even if it was something that could hurt him, he would look at it, because it does. When they go into his world, it's flowers and stuff, and they do have teeth like they're going to bite him, but it's just stop and smell the roses. And when they smell the roses, all the flowers are like, thank you. Thank you for stopping and appreciating my smell. Like, that's just who Perito is.
And now you may walk past me.
He says we must go through the Valley of Incineration. Over Undertaker Reach. Through the Cave of Lost Souls? I guess there is a different terrible path for everyone.
I don't even have a wish. But can I try it? Ooh, mine says we skip through the pocket full of posies.
What?
Then drift down the river of relaxation. That sounds fun.
No fair. Why does he get the good one?
Wander the fields of quick and easy solutions and arrive at the star. Oh, wow. That sounds wonderful.
I feel like I would watch a movie just a Perito. Like, I understand that Puss in Boots was what everybody wanted back in the Shrek franchise, but now that Perito has been introduced, I'd watch a movie about him. Zosha, did you have a favorite scene?
Yes, I like when Perito is practicing his cute face.
Here's another Perito. What is he doing it for?
Yeah, they want him to be adorable, and he's practicing.
Yeah, it's almost like their distraction, if you will.
Yeah, it does show up in the end. And what happens in the end, Zosha? Like, this is a spoiler, but whatever.
He distracts the bad guy, and when he does it perfect, but then it gives him a nosebleed.
Yeah, it does. It's very funny. I like that scene, too.
It's exhausting being cute.
You would know. How about you, Mommy? Did you have a favorite scene?
It is super messed up of a scene to like, but I enjoyed seeing Puss in Boots' last 8 lives. Like, how did we get to this 9th one so fast? So yeah, I mean, it's a little grim, but it's comedic the way it's played out.
They are. It's almost like a montage of him losing all of his lives.
Some of them are just so silly. Like, I think one of them, he perishes in a bullfight.
Let's see. There was the running of the bulls in Pamplona. Hola, señorita. Do you like gazpacho?
One of my last favorite scenes is when, so like Perito in the movie has been talking about how he's a service dog and how he can calm everybody down, and Puss in Boots just kind of shuns it like, oh yeah, okay, whatever. And there's a scene where Puss in Boots is kind of having a panic attack. Yeah, yep. A panic attack. And Perito goes and finds him and he's like, Puss, he reacts how you normally would. Like, are you okay? Oh my gosh, what's wrong? What's wrong? And Puss in Boots is just hyperventilating. And he lays down onto Puss in Boots' like belly or his chest and calms Puss in Boots down. And it was just such a nice scene. I thought it was beautiful.
It is. They just have a nice calming snuggle.
It was like that I told you so moment. Like, just believe me.
It's a real job, I promise.
Yeah.
So to continue off favorite scenes, let's move into some positives. I really like the references to other fantasy stories. Our girls notice quite a few Disney parallels, like the Jiminy Cricket character that follows Jack Horner around. And then Jack also has this bag that's exactly like the Mary Poppins bag. He just keeps pulling things out of it. It's a never-ending bag that all moms wish they had. Even dads. Anybody who has children wants this bag.
Yeah, he's loading it up with all these different items. Like, he's going to put Cinderella's shoe in it, and he just throws it behind because he doesn't need it. But he's got a bunch of stuff in there that is just references to other... Do you remember something, yeah?
Yeah, I remember the Snow White apple.
Oh, he does put the Snow White apple in there. The poison apple.
He also puts the Alice in Wonderland Eat Me cookie and the drink.
Yes, that makes him bigger or smaller.
Oh, that's from Alice in Wonderland?
Yep.
Oh, I had no idea. I can't remember the last time I saw Alice in Wonderland. Good catch, Zosh.
Sleeping on it. We also see the magic carpet. We see Cinderella's pumpkin coach. That's just right. so many little things.
Those are fun elements. It seems like all the Shrek movies center around some type of fairy tale because they want Shrek to be in that fairy tale world.
Well, yeah, he's from, like, he goes to far, far away land,
yes,
and all
that's
that.
Right, that's right, that's right. I vaguely remember these Shrek movies.
The Shrek rewatch is coming.
Please, no.
Oh, it's coming.
Something that I really liked was the action sequences. They have a very different animation style, and it looks super cool.
So cool. I loved this, too.
It almost gives off, like, Sony vibes, like the Spider-Verse movies or Mutant Mayhem. Like,
you could see, like, those pencil sketches, like a comic book.
Yeah, and then they pull out some frames. Like, every two frames, they take out one frame to make it higher frame rates. I don't really know how to explain it because I'm not an animation major. It just looks really cool. But I feel like they should have done it through the entire movie and not just the action sequences, because I thought it looked super cool the entire time. I was like, oh man, when an action scene ended, I was kind of disappointed. So it's a negative and a positive.
Yeah, because then it wouldn't look like any other Shrek movie.
Very true, because it does match the other Shrek universe movies.
The message of The Last Wish is also wonderful. It is centered around optimism and just being happy with what you have and cherishing the life that you have been given and the people that are in it to share it with you. You know, you don't want to be greedy and selfish. Being a legend isn't everything, as Puss in Boots learns.
Yes, it is a very good message. Now, some negatives. It'll be covered in parental guidance, but I don't mind minor curse words that they use in this movie. They aren't harsh, and this isn't a Disney movie. It's a few synonyms for poop. Like, I don't mind that. But there are two scenes where a character uses words that are literally bleeped out like an episode of Cops.
It is like an episode of Cops.
It's not necessary. Whoever thought that this would be funny, I want to meet them, because it's not.
What's your name? Oh, I've been called all kinds of things. Dog, bad dog, stupid dog. Hey, you there, get out, leave it, drop it. Big rat, small pig, rat face, butt nugget, for brains, you know, that sort of thing. But I've never had a name that really stuck, you know, and belonged to me.
I agree. It was like, yeah, it's not landing right.
Just substitute the word that you're using with an even sillier word, and it would be a 10 times funnier, because kids are going to go out and they're going to say that silly word substituted versus having a bleep. Because now I got to explain, why do they bleep it? I mean, like, to our girls, they know we say curse words in real life, but some kids don't.
They don't know that.
Yeah, they don't have parents that use curse words. So they're going to say, well, what does that beeping mean? Well, they said a bad word. Well, why didn't they just substitute the bad word?
Right? Just be like, oh, all these whippersnappers, you know? Like, yeah. Use something else.
Literally use the word poop.
Yeah.
Because it's a funny word. So yeah, that was a big negative for me. I don't know why they had to put that in there.
There's also a lot of violence in this movie. Yes, we're watching a movie about a talking cat that wears boots in sword fights, but it is constant fighting. It is constant battling and violence, and there's a lot of talk of ending other people's demise, if you will. And I just think that's a little bit too intense for a cartoon kids movie.
I agree with that. Most of the movie is also centered around a character who plays like a Grim Reaper.
Yes, the wolf.
I love this character. His design is just super cool. I do like it. He is kind of spooky.
He's terrifying to children. I'm going to give you that warning right now.
But like I said, he's like the Grim Reaper. So it's constantly about him trying to
come take Puss's last life.
Exactly. And that's pretty violent.
It's definitely something that is not on the mind of most children. And if it is, we have other problems to deal with.
Yeah.
One of the things that got me is I just simply didn't care about anyone in this movie. Puss in Boots has been so selfish for 8 lives to the point where I really don't care about his 9th life or if he even changes. Goldilocks, I feel like, changes the most in this movie, so it might be my bias for Florence Pugh as well. You never know.
Yeah, maybe.
But she at least learns somewhat of a lesson that she should cherish her bear family and not go looking for a human family. But most of the movie, she's hunting people down. She's super rude to Baby Bear. Like, all of the characters in this movie are so rude outside of Perito.
Yeah, Perito's the best. And then my last negative, this movie's called The Last Wish, and nobody makes a wish. And I get it. They don't want to be selfish and make that wish for themselves.
They don't want Jack Horner to get it.
No, but nobody makes a wish. Like, you could have used it to better the entire world, and they don't even do that. So it kind of bothered me that the movie's called The Last Wish, and nobody makes a wish. Like, end world hunger. I don't know if that exists in this movie, but give everybody a home, because in Shrek, they put all these different fairy tales into Shrek's
swamp.
His swamp. My exactly. Swamp. So, I mean, they could have just given everybody a home. Make a new continent. I don't know.
Give everybody free healthcare, you know, like something.
Amelia, what would you wish for?
A lot of stuffed animals.
I hope it's enough that we'd be able to sell them to maybe get some more money and then maybe bring it to Disney World or something.
No, our house will be made out of them.
Okay. How about you, Mommy? Do you know what you'd wish for?
That is such a hard question on the spot, because you want to say things like, you know, I want everybody to have good health in my family. I don't want anybody to worry about getting sick or being unwell. But then everybody having an unlimited supply of money would be awesome, too, because nobody wants to work to death. And in the age that we live in, no one's retiring, people. We're in it for life. What about you? Are you getting a bat suit or something more serious?
Oh, man, I'd probably try to go something serious that would better the entire world. Like, everyone's basic needs would be fulfilled.
Food, shelter, healthcare.
Yeah, and then probably like a Batmobile for myself.
Yeah, just add it in.
Just a little selfish. Probably the bat suit as well.
It'll be a clause at the end of it.
Yeah. How about you, Zosha? Anything?
Yeah, I would live with Lainey.
Oh, wow. Okay. What a heartbreaking wish you're going to put on us right now.
See, if we had unlimited supply of money, we can bring everybody together. We're all homesteading as one, or jetting back and forth, whatever we need to do.
So what type of negatives and positives come with parental guidance, Mommy?
So the language of the movie is mostly name-calling. There are a few scenes that we had mentioned with bleeped profanity that's just a really weird choice for a kid's movie. I don't get why it was a thing, because it does nothing for the story, but I digress. Overall, I would group it as mild. Violence, there are sword fights and lots of conflicts between groups of characters fighting for this wish. The fights get heated and Puss in Boots bleeds at one point. There's quite a few minor characters that meet their demise, but we also see Puss's prior 8 lives end. Like I said earlier, it is played off as comedic, but it's still super messed up. Scary? The wolf, 110%. He is terrifying, but he is also a really cool representation of the Grim Reaper, but he can definitely scare kids. There's a lot of talk of life expectancy, and if your kids figure out what that is, it could be scary to think about.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Grown-up stuff, there are references to being intoxicated with one of Puss's past lives and him having too much heavy cream.
I get it.
The governor is pantsed, and we see his underwear, and there is also a reference to having dingleberries.
Very gross.
Yes.
And as for an age recommendation, you know your kids better than we do. We're just here to give our opinions. Aside from the violence and a little bit of language, I think kids are going to like this movie, so I say any age. It's PG, so parents' choice. So Rotten Tomato critics have this movie certified fresh at 95%, which is a thumbs up. Audiences have it at a 94%, which is also a thumbs up. Let's see how it holds up in our house. Zosha, do you give Puss in Boots: The Last Wish a thumbs up, a thumbs middle, or a thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up? Why a thumbs up?
It's just funny. I'll watch it again.
Okay. Amelia?
Thumbs middle.
A thumbs middle? Why a thumbs middle?
Because it kind of scares me in there.
Oh, okay. I got you.
It scares me by the park when the wolf whistles and then he comes in.
Oh, the wolf does have a creepy whistle. Mommy?
I'm going thumbs down. I have no desire to ever watch this movie again.
Okay.
I'm watching Shrek 1 or 2.
So where does this rank then? Would you put this at the bottom? Do you think it's the worst of the Shrek franchise?
I feel like I can't give that opinion because I really don't remember much of Shrek 3 or 4. Like once they start having kids and stuff like that, it's been so long since I've watched those movies.
Okay.
But I'm going to say at the bottom for now.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if it stayed at the bottom, too, because I just like the characters in Shrek better than all the characters that they had in just the Puss in Boots movie.
Okay.
What about you, Daddy?
I think I'm going to give it a thumbs middle. I didn't absolutely dread this movie. I thought it had some funny elements to it. I definitely liked it better than Shrek 3 and 4 and then any of the other little shorts that they have. Purito is just great. I love Purito. I probably don't want a movie of him, but I think I'd watch like a short, like a kind of like an Olaf thing. Like, Olaf is so cool. Let's just put him in little episodes, mini-sodes of something. Give me Purito in mini-sodes of something. I think that it would be excellent.
Cute little Netflix special.
I'd watch it. And if any of you would like to add Puss in Boots: The Last Wish to your movie night list, it is currently streaming on Netflix or available across platforms.
And after watching, let us know if you give it thumbs up, thumbs middle, or thumbs down.
And when you want to let us know what you think about the movie, please find us on social media. We like to post pictures of us on our movie nights, letting you know what snacks and sweets we're eating. We post a dad joke as well as a sneak peek clip theme to the episode coming out that week. It's a fun place to hang out.
Our Facebook is It's Movie Night, and our Instagram is It's Movie Night Pod. Thank you for listening.
Join us next week for another movie night.
Bye.